Our God and Heavenly Father, we come to you as the mortal, carnal, sinful flesh, yet the workmanship of thine hand. Thank you for your perfect, endearing, deep, saving love. Thank you for coming to this earth to give us that power to live and move and find our health and well-being in you alone. For you are our Creator, our Savior and Deliverer from our sins, the sins of the world, from the suffering and the curse of sin. You are our Savior from Satan's snares, oppression and position. Lord Jesus, you are our one and only physician and healer. I pray, dear God, for all of us here and for those whom we have mentioned who need some extra experience of the power of faith in your name to receive it in their physical condition. I pray that you be with Paul, that you be alone his physician. You have built the human intricate, marvelous design, and only you, dear God, can touch and speak, and it is done. If he still needs surgery, may that be handled by the hand and the ministration of your holy angels, that he may experience the power of your presence in a very transforming way. Again, for Mimi and Andrea's friend, and for Bea, and for all of our family members and our loved ones, and for the rest of us who are suffering physical infirmities, your word have challenged us to believe that our affliction, which is but for a time, should work for us an exceeding rich and weight of glory. For we look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are not seen. Or the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. May you take over our heart and mind and soul to see the great blessings even during this time of affliction. I pray that our own trials and tribulation give us that patience to wait upon you, and that patience give us a grand new experience with God in our life to motivate, to inspire, and to empower us to live a joyous, blessed, full life on earth with faith and trust in Jesus. And I pray, dear God, that that experience always give us your hope. And as you bless us on this earth, may your Holy Spirit alone guide us in all decisions to use every gift and blessing for your honor and glory, and hence for our own enrichment and the blessing of our families, your church, and those in the world. I pray that as you have spoken to us this morning in such a personal way, through prayers and through songs and through your word, that also this hour, your Holy Spirit alone teach us the blessings of life on earth and the gift of life eternal in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You know, this is perhaps the theme of the Bible. The messages we are studying now is the foundation of the root and the cause of our blessings on earth. We all want to be blessed, right?
Yes.
We don't want to be cursed, correct?
No.
How many of you would like to suffer? How many of us would like to suffer? I don't see anyone say, Lord, please give me some suffering.
Oh, no.
We don't want to suffer. But the fact is, we are living on an earth of suffering. It is inevitable that you and I will go through some suffering. Isn't that correct?
That's true.
And we'll either be well-equipped or ill-equipped. That's true. When we are ill-equipped, we experience lots of problems internally and externally. And we try to trust in somebody else to bail us out.
And if that somebody else is also ill-equipped, now we add double miseries together and double conflicts, and things become much worse. And then we try to find the answer in things, but these are idols. They don't speak, they don't talk, they don't feel, they don't really provide us with any answers to our true problems. The message here gives us the foundation of how we can be enriched and blessed even as struggling sinners on this earth. How we can minimize our suffering and maximize our joy. How we can prosper on this earth. And it all happened because of the birth of Jesus, who came to save the world from the root cause of every suffering and conflict, which is sin. And ye shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins, their sins. If you remove the virus, all of the symptoms began to go away. So in every conflict, it is also and always healthy to spend time with God to recognize what are the root causes of this conflict. Don't address the symptoms. Address the root cause, and the Holy Spirit will guide you. Because that is exactly what God has given us to live a brand new life and to have a brand new beginning. The birth of the Spirit. Jesus was born of the Spirit. And he told us, unless we be born again of the water and of the Spirit, we cannot enter the kingdom of God. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit in us, we cannot manage any conflict in our lives. We will always be ill-equipped if we try to count on ourselves, on others, or in things. But if we know how to fully trust Jesus and count on the Holy Spirit alone, he will equip us with all the tools necessary. And what we do not have, he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. It is really the answer for every ailment on this earth. The hope of the new spiritual birth and eternal life. We're going to be taking this journey now. Let's go to the next slide, please. Last week, we shared from the Bible the signs of new spiritual birth. First, sin is recognized, sin is confessed, sin is forgiven, and immediately thereafter, a new life began. When the virus and the cause and the root of all troubles have been recognized, confessed, and dealt with, you're about to have the right answers for every problem. And we have seen that happening in the story of this paralyzed man. He believed, and so did his four friends. And they have fought against all odds, believing that even though the house was packed, the door was blocked all around, there is no way to get to Jesus, they found a way. Mm-hmm. If there is a will, there is always a way. Jesus is always the way, the truth, and the life. If there is a will to recognize the root of the problem, and if there is a will to attain the blessed answers, there is always a way. And Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth that we need to know. Jesus is life on earth and life eternal. And they believe that, and they lowered the man. Very paralytic, can't move. And the first thing Jesus said to the man, "My son, your sins are forgiven thee." The first thing Jesus did is to remove the hindrance out of the way. The Bible doesn't say much about the life of this man, but because he is a man like you and me, we presume that he is a sinner. No one is perfect, and we sin every day. And because we sin every day, we need to be born again every day of the water that is the cleansing of our heart and mind and soul when we acknowledge the dirt within and our needs to be washed away. And then the forgiveness comes from the Lord. And when Jesus said, "Your sins are forgiven," some people began to murmur. They had doubt about who Jesus was. That is he really God? Is he the Son of God? We don't think so. Maybe he is. No one can do this many miracles. of healing unless he is somebody, but maybe he is just a prophet. They had doubts and they said, whom does he think he is that he can forgive sins? And you know, they didn't say it loud. Many of them thought it in their mind. And the Bible said that Jesus read their mind very well. And to help them recognize that he is really God, because only God knows our innermost thoughts. And he responded to them to offer them the path of salvation and deliverance from their own condition of sin. And he's saying, you know, what is easier, to tell a man you are forgiven or to tell him rise up and walk? That you may believe that I am the Son of God. He told that man and he gave him the ultimate test. Rise up. Pick up your bed. And walk.
That's something.
A test of faith. And the Bible says that the man believed and the man behaved. Faith without works is dead, being alone. You got to believe and you got to live as if you believe. Amazing things happen. Jesus said, if you have a faith of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. I believe everyone here, including my nephew Peter, have more than a mustard seed of faith in Jesus. So if it's more than a mustard seed of faith, you should be experiencing lots of miracles. Once the issue of sin is addressed with Jesus every day, he promised that he will forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, known and unknown to us. Such a wonderful thing. Such a wonderful thing. You know, I talked to some people who do not drink water at all. You know, I have a young man in the soccer team who gets upset very quickly in the game. Very nice guy. When you're just talking with him, very kind-hearted. You know, very loving. But 5-10 minutes in the game, he's irritable and little things really get into him. And I wanted to know more about what is going on in his life. And last week I sat down with him and I told him, what do you feel? And after going through the questioning, I asked him the question, how much water do you drink a day? He looked at me, said, yeah, how much water do you drink a day? He said, none.
Wow.
I said, you don't drink water at all? He said, not really. I said, what do you drink? He said, sodas and juices and things like that. And that is a cause. That's a cause of that problem. You know, the brain cannot function without water. Neither is any part of the body. Our blood, they tell us, is 75% water. You know, we need the water. We need the cleansing power. So if you go every day without quenching the thirst of our soul and cleansing our heart with the living water, we cause ourselves lots of problems. No need to go any day without drinking of the living water of life. And that's what Jesus done to this man. And the Bible said that suddenly he was transformed. He stood up. He was healed. He was glorifying God. And in that very instant, he became an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the conviction, the help, and the salvation of friends, families, and strangers. That is the miraculous new birth that Christ came to give. And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it tells us that he that is in Christ is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, God shall make all things new. Isn't that wonderful? Everyone who once knew you in the past when you were in darkness will no longer be able to recognize you. You are dead. You are dead in Christ. And you are alive in Jesus now. Okay? You've been buried with him in baptism. And now you were raised with him in the newness of life, Romans chapter 6. Isn't that wonderful? And then it is that wonderful, mighty power of the Holy Spirit that began the process of change in us. Your heart will begin to change. So will your knowledge. The things you like and the things you dislike will change. Your character is going to change. Your decisions will change. Your purpose is going to change. And you will continue to become like Jesus every day. Now let us go to the next slide. And I know that all of us love to receive gifts. If I really asked you, what is the greatest gift truly that you would like to receive that you believe will satisfy all of your needs? Don't give me the theology. I'm asking you the question. We all struggle, we all have conflicts every day. We all have needs and wants every day. Did you ever ask the question to yourself? What is the gift that I can truly have today that can satisfy my every need and my every want and give me such a blessed life on earth? What would you choose?
Healing.
Okay, very good. That's not bad. What else? Anyone else? Peter.
Love.
Does love provide healing? True love provide healing. Anyone else?
Understanding.
To be loved is to be understood in all the right way.
Yes.
Anyone else? Ashraf.
Gift of life, you know, the disciples of Jesus used to raise loved ones when they pass away.
I like that, the gift of life. Can you have the gift of life without true love?
No.
And can you have the gift of life without healing?
No.
And can you really have a blessed life if you are often misunderstood?
No.
Now, Andrew.
Faith.
Faith very much is the driving force to all of our decisions. You are talking about the right kind of faith that leads you to understand things very well, that you may be able to make wise decisions that give you life and that you feel so loved and enriched in your life. I've seen two hands, one here and one there. Okay, Eric and then Lisa.
Heaven.
Can you have heaven on earth? Well, Jesus said that the kingdom of God is come. He came to establish his kingdom on earth. Heaven begins on earth and hell begins on earth. It's good to desire that. Lisa.
Wisdom and discernment.
Wisdom and discernment. And why is that?
To guide us.
We cannot make any decision regarding healing, regarding love, regarding anything else if we don't have the right knowledge. And to have the right knowledge alone is not enough to help us make the right choices, because many a times we have the right knowledge and we go about it the wrong way. So what we need is wisdom that goes with knowledge. Okay? What else? What other gifts? Yeah.
The freedom of truth.
The gift of truth. If you're going to get knowledge, it is best that you pray that you got the truthful knowledge. Because the world is full of knowledge. Right? Mm-hmm. And it is that knowledge that places people in the wrong love. That causes people lots of sicknesses and hinder their healing. It is that wrong knowledge that gives many misunderstanding. And those who do not have this right knowledge do not have the right faith. They have faith in themselves, in others, and in things. So they create lots of misunderstanding. They do not experience the true love of God. It does not bring about healing to their inner wounds and needs. Of course, if it is the wrong knowledge, there is no wisdom in decision. So all determined by the truthful knowledge that we receive. Anyone else? What gifts do you want? You know, we all give gifts and we love to receive gifts.
Yes.
That's true. Why is that? Why do we love to receive gifts?
Makes us feel loved.
Very good. Did you see that? Listen to now. Everything that you say you want, it goes with that question. Why do we like to receive gifts? Because it makes us feel loved. Cool. Gifts that are meaningful, with a good purpose, unconditional, it gives us a sense of a good life. That's what Ashraf said. B.
Makes me feel appreciated.
Makes you feel appreciated. Worth living for. Anyone else? Yes.
It fulfills the desire or need that you have, both known and unknown.
Very good. We pray that the gifts we receive does fulfill our needs. Yes.
I think one gift that would
okay, that is the greatest gift of all. That is life eternal. Well, we don't have to worry about anything else. All right. 2012. I am very encouraged and inspired to tell you that the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name and through faith in Him, is willing to give you gifts that you don't have. But you have to ask for them.
True.
And apply yourself to them. Okay? Here's what the Bible. This is what we're going to be examining. I'm going to be sharing with you some wonderful news for 2012. Every gift that you desire, you can ask for. But you have to believe it and apply yourself to it.
Just true.
Okay? Here's what the Bible says in James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variables, neither shadow of turning. Jesus said, when I ascend, I will lift many unto me and I will give them diverse gifts. This is the gifts that can only be imparted by the Holy Spirit to those who are born again of the water and of the Spirit. That's why I say you cannot just say, I was born again in the 60s or the 70s or the 80s. And you feel so satisfied with that you have everything. It is not true. If you are not born again every day, you forego a tremendous amount of gifts and blessings you are desperate for. And God wants to give us all the gifts that we need, that we may fight the good fight of faith and trust in Jesus. That we may have what Jesus promised, I came that you may have life. I heard it. And that you may have it more abundantly than those who don't believe. And God wants to give us the perfect gift. The gift that never loses its importance. You know, when someone gives you a toothpaste as a gift and a brush?
That's wonderful.
I think it is great, right?
That's great gift.
And eventually when you use that brush for a while and the toothpaste, what happened after a while? It's gone. You need another gift. The gifts that God gives, they last forever with us and they can only get bigger and stronger. They continue to bless our life more and more as we apply them into our lives. This is called the spiritual gifts. Listen, you can go to college and get your PhD. It's not going to grant you any of these gifts. You can pretend to be someone you are not. If you want to be wise, then you have to pray for wisdom. Wisdom is nothing more than solving conflicts and decisions in all the right ways. Of course, when you pray for wisdom, God will give you problems to see your limitations. It is at this time where you will have to look at yourself and say, boy, I don't have it. I have seen people from time to time, they lack self-significance, and so they pretend to be people of knowledge and people of wisdom, and they cause greater harm to themselves and others, and eventually people don't trust them and don't like to be around them. We don't want that. No, God wants us to give us the gifts of life. He really does. And we're going to be examining this together, how that the most important gifts can only be obtained through a daily life of prayer, a daily life of praise, a daily life of worship and service, even as struggling sinners, as we ask the Lord to cleanse us every day from our sins and to plead with the Holy Spirit to dwell in our heart and mind and body and make us the temple of His presence, furnish unto all heavenly works of righteousness every day of our life. You got to do that every day. And the more you do it, the faster it comes. The more you seek the Lord in every conflict in prayer, the more those gifts come. And the less you seek Him, the farther they go away. And then you want to count on someone else who may have some. And we have already studied in the Bible the parable of the 10 virgins. Mm-hmm. 5 were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish thought they can just go and sleep and loiter and do whatsoever. And when the bridegroom comes, when the conflict comes, when the big boom comes, then they will be ready. And they said to themselves, you know, even if I am not ready, I can go to these other guys to take some from their own oil. It did not work. It did not work. If you're going to be wasting your life every day doing everything that everybody else is doing and not investing in the gifts of heaven, you are the loser. No mother, no father can come through. No sister, no brother can come through. The choices you make stays with you. And the Lord wants us to choose this. The Holy Spirit by whom we are born again to worship bestows upon us and equips us with divine gifts. Let us examine them. It is beautiful that Romans 12 gives us the invitation to receive the gifts. And we're going to examine that next week or the week after. I want to conclude with it. Because it says here that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, furnished unto all good works of righteousness. And then he go and reiterate all the gifts and show us how it works together in the body of Christ. Okay? So Romans 12 invite God's people who've been born again to now surrender who they are to the work of the Holy Spirit, who will give them all of these good gifts that they need. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, what gifts and how they work. You will be joyous to see some of the gifts you have just spoken about in that chapter. And that is what we're going to be studying today. And also in time, what gifts and how they work. And Ephesians 4, for what purpose? Why does God desire to give us all of these mighty gifts? For what purpose? Let us open together 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the blessed journey and the blessed life of faith through the birth of the Holy Spirit once and every day of our life until the last breath on this earth. Here it is. Verse 1. Listen to this. Now concerning what? Spiritual gifts. Brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. It is sad. It is very sad to know of this. Many people who are serving in many churches are very ignorant of the gift of God. Now, can you read the Bible and be ignorant and still don't have the gift of knowledge?
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I know people who went to study in colleges who studied the whole Bible and they are not believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Wow.
They have the knowledge and they can tell you the knowledge. The knowledge alone does not give you the birth of the Spirit, because Satan knows the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and he have it all memorized and he have much better understanding of the Bible than me. And it is unfortunate that the Apostle Paul is saying regarding the spiritual gift, be careful. Don't be ignorant about what they are. Okay? Because of this issue, we have many denominations. Because people are fighting over those gifts. It's true. That's why we have denominations. Because they have been ignorant of the fact of what are the spiritual gifts, who gave them, for who, and for what purpose. We're going to be examining that today so we would not fall into this error of ignorance. Verse 2. You know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Said, remember, you came from a world of darkness. You came from a world of confusion, from the knowledge of the world and the deeds of the world. And you were corrupted. Your heart and mind and soul have been corrupted. So be careful of how to perceive the spiritual gift and how they work for you. So be careful of that. Be wary of that. Not because you were baptized into the church, now you can claim that you know everything and you have all gifts. Be very careful. Be very careful. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. That's why Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, atheists study the Bible. But they don't call Jesus Lord. Did you hear that? They don't call Jesus Lord unless they have the Holy Spirit in them. Those who say Jesus Christ is Savior and Lord do have the Holy Spirit in them. Isn't that something? So we should feel comforted if we really believe that. But you know, there are many young and old in the church who read Buddhism and Hinduism and they read Islam, and they become very confused. And they do ask the question, is Jesus real? What's happening?
Wow.
What's happening?
Doubt.
Exactly. There are two spirits that exist. I don't care what people believe in on this earth. That's everyone's choice. There are two spirits that exist, and no one can deny it. You can look at the newspaper every day, listen to the news every day, read it and see it everywhere. There is the spirit of good and the spirit of evil. There is the spirit of right and the spirit of wrong. And there are clear consequences to this. There's no question about it. There is the Holy Spirit and there is the evil spirit. So when you try to connect with the Holy Spirit, the evil spirit come with force to temper with your mind and your heart. But the Apostle Paul said it so correctly as Jesus did. Unless a man be born again of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. So be empowered by the Holy Ghost. Take all doubts out of your mind and heart. Jesus is Lord. Whether we acknowledge it or not, it's not going to change who He is, but it can change who we are. Okay? It is very important to note that. And as I said this morning, we should never be ashamed to declare the name of Jesus to everyone that asks. Verse 4. Now there are diversities of gift, but the same Spirit. Did you hear that? You cannot have all the gifts. I cannot have all the gifts. But everyone who is born again of the water and of the Spirit will have some gifts. According to your ability and according to your needs. Okay? Everyone. Dane have spiritual gifts. Peter have spiritual gifts. Joshua have spiritual gifts. All of us have spiritual gifts. Either we neglected to know about them, or we neglected to use them. And God will never give us a new gift until we have learned to use what we've got. And if Sandra is gifted in 4 or 5 different ways, I can desire one of her gifts, but I will never get it unless the Holy Spirit give it to me when I am ready for it and when I am faithful over the gift. Did you see that? He said there are diverse gifts, but the same Spirit. So let us go verse 5 now. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord. That's very important now. You know, all of us have gifts here. If you go to Redwood Chapel, our brothers and sisters there have also spiritual gifts. And if you go to Egypt, some of the Christians there have also spiritual gifts. Yet it is different administration for different places to meet different kind of needs. Different administration. You know, you hear me preach. I'm sure if you turn on the TV to hear another evangelist, he's maybe having the gift of preaching, but he is preaching different from me. Different administration to meet different needs. You know, not every preaching meet my need as a pastor. Some preaching shuts me down. But I discern right away the audience of that gift. I may not be that audience, but I recognize the same Spirit. So I don't condemn some other preacher because he is administrating the gift different from me. And I think it gets really sticky in many churches. You hear that from many congregations. Oh, I can't stand that preacher. You know, I don't know how these people really preach that way. They don't understand. God had Peter, he had Paul, he had John, he had James, he had different apostles, different preachers to go to different cities to meet different people. And I have heard many sincere Christians, wonderful sincere Christians, said, I'm really having a very difficult time with the preachings of the Apostle Paul.
Wow.
It is simply because they need to know diverse gifts of the Spirit and diverse administration. There are certain things in the Bible that I still have a difficult time with. But God has given it to a certain preacher to meet the needs of certain audience. Okay, so it's important to note that. Because what's really happened, because of this lack of recognition, we have conflict in Christianity. And you know, I have been part of an organization, and there are so many denominations. If you go inside and worship with them, you will hear this and you will see it. Every denomination believe that they have the truth. And every denomination believe that there are errors in other denominations. Now, what is the truth about that? The truth is, all of us believers have truth and errors in our lives. Isn't that true?
Yes.
We all have truth and errors in our lives. So how come we cannot get along? We cannot get along because some believe they don't have errors. They believe that the errors is on the other side. We talked about healing, Sandra.
Yeah.
I heard a sermon 15 years ago about the eye that Jesus could not heal. And you know, I was stunned by the title. And I listened, I said, did I miss a miracle in the Bible? I must have missed a miracle. Eyes were not healed. And God have used the preacher. And God bless him. He rested in peace now. He blessed my life. You know, I would never have thought of such a title for a sermon.
But he meant I.
That's right.
He didn't mean I.
That's right. You know, when we are so arrogant, so proud, we have the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth, and everyone else is in error. This is the eye that Jesus could not heal. And we lose the Holy Spirit because of that. But if all of God's people in all churches recognize that no one have claim on the truth and no one knows the whole truth, you know why? If I say I know the whole truth and the Bible is saying that Jesus is the way, is the truth, and is the life. If I say that I know all the truth, then I have to be Christ-like in all things. Are you Christ-like in all things? So I know about all the truth that sets me free. And I pray that the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, to set me free. But I don't know all the truth. I will live, and if Jesus did not come during my lifetime, I will die without knowing the whole truth. But if I know Jesus, and I commit my life to Him every day, that suffices for me. I will love all of my brothers and sisters, including the Muslims, and the Buddhists, and the Hindus, and the atheists, and of course, Christians of all denominations, as Jesus loved me. They're just like me. I'm not going to enter into debates. Last Wednesday, in the Bible study in Redwood Chapel, I think Joshua and Eric was there with me, I brought that issue. We were studying the word the Father. And how do different people feel about that? And I brought that issue to share with everybody that even though we have one Father, but we don't all feel that we have one Father. Some of us still believe that we are foster kids in God's family, and we don't feel the complete love of the Father. And many Christians in many denominations believe that foster kids. Why? Many reasons. If children were abandoned by their parents early on, if they were abused in any form, if they were divorced in the family, especially when they were kids, they have a difficult time believing that there is a Father in heaven who will not abandon them.
Wow.
So they go to church. They feel good. Some people are making feel good. They feel good when they participate in activities, but they still act like foster kids. And the church is having a difficult time really making this group of people in the churches natural children of God. And then there's another group in the church that they act and behave and believe that they're adopted into the family, but not the natural children. Do you know why? Because when they walk into the church and recognize, whoa, the church is supposed to be one body, and now we have many of them. And inside the church, there are cliques. And the pastor and the leadership may be very sincere, but they may appear to be closer with one clique than the other. So those people who come into the family of God do not feel that they are treated like the natural children. And so they believe they are just adopted, but the natural children have much greater privileges than they are. They are not treated the same. How do you feel?
I see it. I know what you're saying. It happens.
Okay, good. How do you feel? Do you feel you are a natural child within the family of God, and you do have that Heavenly Father? Do you believe?
I do.
That other Christian believers are also your brothers and sisters in the one body of Christ?
Yes. Of course.
And do you treat them and love them the same? They are just like us. They have truth, they have errors. They have righteousness, they have sins, just like us. And are you spending time praying for them as you pray for yourself?
Mm.
It's a family, you know? I can't let a day pass by without praying for myself, my family, our families in Egypt and everywhere, the church family, my neighbors, everyone that I know, and people across the world that I don't know.
Right.
Because they are my family. And I said this in the Bible study. I said, you know, I look at Muslims and Buddhists and Hindus as my own brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
You should have seen the eyes. It's a foreign theology, isn't it?
Yeah.
They looked, and I think Pastor Doug Tigner, a very good man, he knew what I meant by it, and he was looking for some elaboration. He said, you know, we forget that the same God who placed me into my mother's womb is exactly the same God who created all the nations from one blood. And they have their own belief, whatever it may be. I didn't say all of these people are going to heaven or going to hell. That's not my decision. I said they are my brothers and my sisters because they are. They are born within the same family that God has created. As to the issues of faith, listen to this. Abel and Cain were true brothers. They had different kind of faith in the word of God. And therefore, they had different ending. But they were brothers. Secondly, when Jesus gave the story of the Good Samaritan, the man asked him which one of this was really a brotherly neighbor. He said, he that showed compassion upon him. And that is exactly what Paul is trying to help us understand. It is the same Spirit of God that is striving in every man. We must have it in order to understand who we are, who other people are, and how to relate to them. I'm not saying here, go and adopt all of the wrong way and commingle with them. No, I didn't say that. You have to have the Holy Spirit inside you to guide you unto all truth and to show you the way. Let us look at the next verse. So we have different administration. God's Holy Spirit work in people, groups, and nations differently. Differently. As we learned the slogan, different strokes for different folks. Okay. So let us look at verse 6. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Isn't that something? You know, many Muslims have been converted to Christianity. It has to begin somewhere. Many Buddhists and Hindus converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has different operations. Sometimes they send a missionary down there. Sometimes there's an evangelist on TV. It's amazing, I was watching an Egyptian TV by the name Hayat. The people who are talking there are all converted Muslims to Christianity. The people who own the station. It's amazing. They know the Quran so well, and they know the Bible so well, and they are able to minister to the heart of the Muslims much more than I ever can. Different gifts by the same Spirit. Different operations by the same Spirit. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
So if we give up on all of these people and did not call them brothers and sisters, how will they ever know the love of Jesus? It's a problem. It's a problem because there are churches today, who are preaching a foreign gospel. A gospel of divisiveness. A gospel of divide and conquer. A gospel that is based more on politics and money than on the true love of Jesus. And if you have the Holy Spirit in you, be careful. If you have the Holy Spirit in you, you will not be deceived by any false prophet or preacher. That's the key. If you don't, on that very day, plead for the Holy Spirit to be in you, you will be deceived by the books you're reading. Because discernment and knowledge is the gift of the Spirit. If you are walking on this earth by your own discernment and understanding, you will be deceived. And many Christians have invested lots of money believing They are investing in the kingdom of God, and this money was used in all the wrong way to hurt so many people across the world. So if you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you will recognize a true from a false prophet, an evangelist, and teacher. For Jesus said, by their fruits ye shall know them. Secondly, people are seeking the gift of knowledge, but they are not reading the word of knowledge. Are you one of those? They want knowledge to look good and sound good and impress others. And perhaps knowledge to make some good decision to prosper their life. But they're not seeking it. They are waiting for someone else to tell them about it. Does that work? Maybe a little bit, but it doesn't last. It doesn't last. Different operation. Verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Is that what you asked for, Lisa?
Yes.
All the gifts that you asked for, the Spirit wants to give it to us. To another, again, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. It's amazing, you know. It is not bad at all to go to school and get the knowledge of the world. It's not bad. But it is serious. If you don't have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the world can lead you astray.
Yes.
Because it does not have wisdom. Wisdom is to how to take the knowledge that you receive and apply it in your decisions. Did you see that? And if you take the knowledge of the world, how on earth can you apply it in your decisions? I see many people when they go and study science and they study evolution, they come out quite confused. And I'm talking about Christians here. They were sold a bad bill of goods and they ate it and chewed on it. And all of the people I spoke with, I asked a question. Have you been seeking the knowledge of God every day? And always the answer is, no, not really. So if you don't seek the knowledge of life and the knowledge of truth, you are very much open to every other knowledge that is not truthful. And when people ask me, I received the knowledge and I actually taught science and I did teach evolution. The knowledge of the world, whether it's evolution or not, actually, it increases my faith in God. If you have the Spirit of God in you. And you know when people say that things happen through the Big Bang, I believe that. But not with the same knowledge, neither by the same Spirit. When you read the book of Genesis chapter 1, it's amazing. It's okay. You can learn the knowledge of the world, but if the knowledge of life, the knowledge of truth is really in your mind, you will see things from the top down. Not from the down down. Of course, when you look at Genesis chapter 1 and you see the days of creation, there was a big bang. It's just the Bible did not use that term. When the earth was dark and void of all things, and God said, let there be light. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
That was a big bang. It was. And everything else he had created was wonderful.
It was a boom.
And then the people said, well, things evolve. If they want to believe that once upon a time they were monkeys and whatsoever, and now they are human beings, that is their choice. You have to be void of mind completely. Through the history of mankind, there is not one case recorded in history. Not one case.
No.
That a monkey gave birth to a human being. Not one case on this earth that a human being gave birth to a monkey. Okay? The facts of truth are ample. But I believe in evolution. I know I do believe that things have evolved from best to good to bad to worse. And it doesn't take a rocket science to see that around. Look at the diseases that we have. Look at the violence that we have. Look at the pollution that we have and the diseases it is bringing upon mankind. Look at that cold virus that has been going on around now. It is lingering so long. Cold used to take a day and people recover. Then it began to be 2-3 days. Then a week. Now it is a month and a month and a half and sometimes 3 months to get rid of a cough. Things are evolving. Not because I said it, because Jesus said it in Matthew 24. He is the truth. He said that in the end of days, iniquity shall abound and the love of many shall wax cold. There will be pestilence. There will be famines. Earthquakes in diverse places, wars and rumors of wars. And you know, things are getting bad. Things are getting bad. So I believe in evolution, but in the right context. Not in the senseless, crazy context. So the knowledge of the world is okay. If it is completely covered by the knowledge of truth. The people who go to college and decide they don't want to believe in God, they think it's intelligence. They have the choice. They have the choice. But you know, watch them making decisions for themselves and their families. Quite poor. Because it is knowledge that's not from above. It is knowledge that does not have wisdom in choices and decisions. The knowledge of the Bible is the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. That's it. And if you're about to buy a car, or to buy a home, or to enter into a relationship, wouldn't you want to know what is good and what is bad about it? Or do you want to discover it later? What do you think?
Before.
Absolutely. But are there many people who neglect to get the knowledge?
Yes.
Avoid getting the knowledge and ignore the good knowledge, hoping that things will just happen in all the right ways? And they end up regretting it. And now, after crisis comes and calamities and losses and hurts, then they try to seek some knowledge. Knowledge of the Bible is the knowledge of good and evil. It's unfortunate we inherited it from Adam and Eve, and we got to know it. We got to know what is a good and a bad decision, and what is right and what is wrong, what will bring about a blessing and what will bring about a curse. Isn't that something wonderful? And Jesus said, when I go, I will send you my comfortable, the Holy Spirit, who will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. It is the Holy Spirit, through the gift of his knowledge, and through the reading of the Bible, and through the inspiration of his work in our life, that show us what is good and what is bad, what is right and what is good. And Paul said, by the law is the knowledge of sin. The law is good and holy and just. It is not something to be scared of. It is the measure of righteousness. What is right and what is wrong. When I sin, I should see it and I'm not afraid to see it. It is truth. That's knowledge. And when I see it, there's also truth that if I confess myself, my sins, unto my Savior, he promised to forgive me and to save me from the curse of sin. That's truth. Okay? And that is wisdom. You have the knowledge. You have sinned. Now you can choose to be wise. And go to the sin bearer. For forgiveness. For help. For mercy. For grace. For transformation of heart and mind and character. There is much to be said about the gift of the Spirit. And I'm going to stop right here in verse 8. I'll continue next week. But recognize that all of the perfect gifts that we need on this earth to help us minimize our pain and maximize our joy, all the gifts that help us have the best relationships, the best prosperous life on earth, is found through the birth of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Bible, and God desired to give it to us. There is no way that God is unjust. There is no way that God will ask us to fight the good fight of faith and don't give us the equipment. Right? But we have to choose those gifts. We have to pray for them, and we have to ask the Holy Spirit to help us use it every day. Then we will prosper. Then we will be blessed. Then our life will be used by the self-same Spirit to bless our families if they are open for the blessing. To bless our neighbors if they are open for the blessing. To bless His church and His people worldwide if they are open for the blessing. To bless people from all nations and all creeds and all faith. And that's why the Lord told His people of old, "And ye shall be called blessed of all nations." That is, if we are born of the water and of the Spirit every day. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let us stand together. Lord, we acknowledge how you have loved us so deeply. How you have called us from the world of darkness and guilt and shame and sin, and cleansed us from the inside out, and began to bestow upon us the gifts of your Holy Spirit. Oh Lord Jesus, we consecrate our lives and all of the gifts you've given us spiritually and mentally and physically, socially, emotionally, academically, and financially. We consecrate it to you, knowing that it can only increase and be blessed as we apply it all for the salvation of our souls, our families and loved ones, your church, our neighbors and all those in the world. May you protect us from the evil one. May you grant us every gift and every weapon necessary to fight against the adversary. And we ask that your Holy Spirit alone fight our every battle and prevail. And may you grant us the ultimate victory of our sin and self, Satan, the world of destruction, the curse of sin, and over death. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.